This is Don Bell reporting from Tokyo. The disarming of Japan has hardly begun. There is over $1 billion worth of ammunition and high explosives to be disposed of before Japan's ability to wage war has been eliminated. And for the American men who are engaged in this work, the war is far from over. Two American ships have been destroyed. A few days ago, 17 freight cars loaded with explosives blew up. Many Americans have been killed, many more injured, and there are still over 600,000 tons of dangerous explosives to be moved from caves and hideouts, transported by truck, train, or ship, dumped into the sea, burned up, or blown up. Occupation authorities hope the job can be completed in 6 months, but the men on the spot say it will take much longer. I saw why when I visited Japan's largest munition storage and ammunition assembly center. In a hidden valley near Akagi in southern Honshu, I stood in the midst of 40,000 tons of high explosives and instruments of sudden death. Most of it was stored in the 100 caves which dotted the valley walls. 20 of those caves are so perfect in construction that experts say they must have been begun as early as 1930. And with American labor, it would have cost us about $200 million to build them. No other country has anything to match them. The first cave I entered is actually a building within a cave. Walls of polished hardwood, floors of special spark-resisting material, two-storied, 275 feet in length and 35 feet in width, an electrical hoist, excellent lighting, special ventilation to keep the air cool and dry. I saw loaded bombs, rockets, warheads for torpedoes, noses for two-man suicide submarines, big shells, marine mines, and such bulk explosives as the dangerous picric acid and ballastite, the explosive used in rockets. Lieutenant David Pollin of Sioux City, Iowa, explained that within these 5 square miles of caves and warehouses, there was sufficient high explosive to destroy an area 20 miles square. Or make a dreadful dent in our Navy and Air Force, though practically nothing for the Jap infantrymen. But there is sufficient big stuff for sea and air defense that, properly used, the Jap might have resisted invasion for months and our losses might have been appalling. On the other hand, there were no new secret weapons worth worrying about. Their death ray was worthless. Their atomic experiments was years behind. They did develop something of a V-2 bomb, tried it out 50 times, had 50 complete failures. They built a rocket plane. It crashed on the takeoff. The big aircraft-carrying submarine was impractical. And as for weapons they did have that were usable for defense, those have been or are being confiscated or destroyed. Swords will become souvenirs. Big guns, museum pieces, or park ornaments. Airplanes will be used for training and study. Warships may yet become targets for our atomic bomb. In the actual disarming of Japan, there is little problem. The big problem is the disposition of these Jap munitions. I watched some of that work being done. I was not comfortable. It's dangerous, and though Japanese laborers do the work and Americans only supervise, still more Americans will probably be lost. As for the possibility of a Jap underground organization getting arms or ammunition, our experts insist that there is no such possibility. They likewise insist that fighting the Jap underground is a purely psychological warfare, and our weapons for this war must be education and democratization. And if we do the job right, there will be no further need for bombs or bullets against Japan. But these men insist the simple disarming of Japan will still take at least 6 months, and the psychological warfare must go on for years. This is Don Bell reporting from Tokyo. I now return you to Mutual in the United States.